Tales of Zendaya, Chapter 5, Revelations. April and Willow tore after the robed figure, dodging through the streets and alleyways of Greenbridge. Cobblestones clattered underfoot, and rain pelted April's face so she could barely see. Willow kept pace alongside her, keeping a wary eye on their target. Every few seconds or so, flecks of red could be seen darting from the hood of the robe. They chased the figure into the northern quarter of town, notorious for its gruff inhabitants and even gruffer architecture. They were headed towards the River Hybel, which divided Greenbridge in two. April could clearly see the river at the end of the road, and knew if they reached the water, they would lose their target. In desperation, she shouted, "Go, Willow! Get them!" The dog sped forward with a gleam in her eye and began catching up to the figure. More flecks of red. All of a sudden, a sturdy-looking boot stuck itself out of a doorway, and whoever April and Willow were chasing tumbled to the ground with agonizing speed. Willow caught up and bit the figure's wrist. In a bid to stand up, the robe fell from its face, revealing a mass of curled, luminous red hair. It was wild and untamed, and surrounded a pale, freckled face with almost translucent skin. April considered the woman to be equal parts beautiful and horrifying, feminine and eldritch, with the face of one who would kiss you with poisoned lipstick. As April ran over to the woman, she backed up against the wall, staring at Willow in horror. "Get it off me!" she cried. "Get this flea bag off me!" "Not yet," April said defiantly. "First you're going to tell me who you are." "I'm..." The woman struggled to wrench her arm from Willow's jaw and winced at the pain. "I'm nobody!" A devious look came over April's face. "Willow, break!" The dog bit down harder and blood began seeping from the woman's wrist. "Okay, okay, I'll tell you," she screamed. "I hate dogs!" Willow didn't find herself too fond of the red-headed woman, either. "My name is Shea." "I don't believe you. You probably have a different name in every city. What are you doing here?" April thought for a moment before asking, "Are you the one that assassinated Queen Justinia?" "What? No." Shea appeared perplexed and insulted. "Whoever did that disappeared without a trace. Do I look like I blend into a crowd?" April scowled. "I mean, please, someone as gorgeous as me doesn't exactly try and hide." "Well, then why the robe?" "I assure you, this dowdy waste of cloth wasn't my idea. It's down to my employer." "And who is your employer?" April raised an eyebrow. I can't say." Shea's eyes grew wider. "Willow? Okay, okay! I work with..." She gritted her teeth. "I work for the king." "What?" April was taken aback. "It's true, all right? Now get this damn thing off me!" Shea shook her wrist once more, and sensing a change in tone, Willow unclenched her jaw. The woman quickly placed her hand on her wrist. There was a flash of blue-green light from her palm, and when she lifted it, the wound was gone. "What do you do for the king?" April shouted. Shea grinned, her eyes producing a menacing glow. "You'll have to ask Daddy, dearest, I'm afraid." In a split second, Shea's body became a white-hot flash, blinding Willow and April, and suddenly she was gone. Only the robe remained, a crumpled mess on the floor. It was dowdy. Heavy footsteps with a relaxed gait strolled towards the pair from behind.
"Well, that was quite a sight," Balthar smirked.
April span around.
"Balthar, it was you who tripped her. What are you doing here?"
"Ah, visiting a couple of old friends, you know. I've got to leave the pub sometimes."
He delved his pinky finger into his ear, twisted it around, and examined the findings.
"I imagine you have some questions."
"Do you know her?" April asked hopefully.
"No, but I have heard of her. Well, iterations of her. Honestly, I thought she was a myth."
"What do you mean?"
"She's a wet worker. They tend to stay in the shadows."
April's face scrunched up.
"Wet worker? Does she work in the sewers?"
No. Not wet with water, princess. Wet with blood. Wet workers take care of the more difficult problems an individual may have, and usually do so quietly."
"She kills people?"
"Professionally. Her reputation is a fierce one. I've heard she's a mage of epic proportions and wouldn't hesitate to throw a child in the fire if it served her contract. Never knew she was afraid of dogs, though."
April thought for a moment. If not for Shea being terrified of Willow, she would likely be dead. Both are, too. Her heart pumped loudly in her chest, and she felt lightheaded.
You've known my dad a long time, Boltha. Would he hire someone like that?
The rather tall dwarf sighed heavily. I served with your father, true, but once your grandfather died and Handel became king, we haven't seen all that much of each other. In fairness, running a country does take up quite a bit of time. April studied Bolthar's face.
Would he hire a wet worker? She pressed.
He would do what's necessary to get the job done, he said in an attempt to remain neutral. Back in the Special Forces days, I'd never seen a more dangerous or more determined soldier. You may not know this, but he put more bodies in the ground than the rest of the squad put together.
Bolthar took a large hand-rolled cigarette from his pocket and lit it.
After taking a drag, he said, Handel does what he thinks is right. His moral compass was always pretty sturdy to my recollection, so you should trust your father, at least until he gives you a reason not to.
You're not answering the question, Bolthar.
I can't, Princess! He took another long drag and exhaled heavily. The truth is, he might. If he thought it necessary to deal with something in the shadows that can't be dealt with in the light. But this isn't something a young girl should be spending her time worrying about.
April's face grayed, and she absent-mindedly stroked Willow's head.
Should I ask him?
That's not my call to make. I can't make that decision for you, love.
She wiped a strand of wet hair from her eyes and took a deep breath. Thank you, Bolthar, for your help today and for talking to me.
Eh, any time.
He put his hand around her and pulled her in for a half-hug.
Are you going to be able to get home all right?
We'll be okay. As long as Willow's with me, there's not much Shea can do at least.
Willow looked up, panting and smiling at April.
Let's head home, girl.
They began trudging back towards the palace as the adrenaline had worn off and their bodies felt like sandbags.
Bolthar watched the young girl and her dog walk away, and he lit another cigarette.
By the time they reached the palace, it was nearly supper. April went upstairs, changed out of her wet clothes and into woolen pajamas. She felt the need for comfort.
Willow, of course, simply shook herself dry and curled up on the bed while April changed. They made their way back downstairs to the dining table, and her father was already seated and waiting for them.
Ah, April, the king smiled. Your sword, please.
April's eyes widened.
What?
Your sword, the wooden one. You were supposed to bring it to me.
April remembered the conversation as they were walking to the Beast and Bard the evening prior.
Oh, sorry, Dad. I'll send it down tomorrow.
Tonight, please. You can leave it outside my study.
There was a vat of soup in front of the king. Next to it were soup bowls, fresh breads, and, of course, Willow's bowl of meat.
A warming meal tonight, as it's so damp outside.
Mm-hmm.
April sat down and lowered Willow's bowl to the floor, trying not to look her father in the eye.
You're awfully quiet tonight. Is everything all right?
Yes, I'm okay. I'm just tired.
April lowered her head and stared into middle distance.
Well, some thick vegetable soup will sort you right out.
The king filled a bowl for April and placed it in front of her before filling a bowl for himself and grabbing a loaf of bread in one hand.
Dad?
The king raised his eyebrows at April, mouth full of bread.
Have you heard of a woman called Shea?
Nope,
King Coisteed replied instantly. Who is she?
Just someone who said she knew you.
April's cheeks flushed.
I know of no one by that name, he said sturdily.
They ate the rest of the meal in measured, uncomfortable silence. April bid her father good night and went upstairs with Willow to leave her sword outside the king's study. Arriving at the large wooden door, she noticed it was left open by a few inches. This was highly irregular for the king. He usually locked his study to protect any sensitive documents, but April found it to be something of a blessing. She could pick up Kelathor's guide and read some more about aromancy to relax before bed. She gently pried the door open, letting a wash of candlelight flow into the room. April crept in. She didn't quite know why she felt the need to creep. She was allowed in the king's study, after all, but something about it felt necessary in the dark room full of secrets. She tiptoed past her chair and the book, past the map table, and set her charred wooden sword gently on the king's desk. Beneath where she placed the sword, April spotted a letter written in crimson, with only two words messily scrawled in giant letters. She knows. April staggered backwards, eyes wide as her heart and mind raced. She quickly spun around, grabbed Kelathor's guide from the end table, ran out of the room and slammed the door behind her. She and Willow ran up to her bedroom, locked the door, and fell onto the bed in a heap.
The words rang in April's head. She knows. It must have been from Shea, which means her father had lied to her. And if he'd lied about that, what else had he lied about? Her eyes welled and the color had drained from her face. She lay there for a good while wondering what to do, before finally giving in to the fact that time moved on regardless of her problems, and so she clambered into bed and tried reading. Willow was snuggled into a ball around her feet, but despite this comfort, she couldn't concentrate. It was several hours of distractedly trying to read about aeromancy forms before April finally nodded off, book still open in her lap. The following week was a tense one for April. Though the king continued to act as he always had, she couldn't look at him in the same way. Her trust had been broken, and she wasn't sure to what extent. No more had been said of Shea or Queen Justinia, and she hadn't mustered the courage to ask her father of his time in the Zendarian Special Forces. She soldiered on, waiting for something to happen. Progress had been made in one area, at least. During her telemancy lesson, she managed to teleport the pencil from one side of the courtyard to the other. Now came moving a heavier object, a fork. April had quickly discovered that practicing, rather than learning, was the dull art of doing exactly the same thing over and over again until you got better at it. Madame Dreyfel had said to her, "Fear not the mage who has moved 1,000 things once, but the mage who has moved 1 thing 1,000 times." It was terribly irritating, but seemed to make a reasonable amount of sense. Finally, the time had come for another lesson with Ranger Salanth. April had been practicing becoming one with the wind all week at every available opportunity, as instructed. She could now drop into a meditative, hypersensitive state within seconds rather than minutes, and she was excited to show Salanth her progress. After another relatively quiet lunch with her father, April and Willow made their way up to the roof terrace, only to find Salanth already waiting for them. "Good day, Princess," the man in black nodded. "Hi, Salanth!" April ran up to him excitedly. "Look what I can do!" She stood still, closed her eyes, and entered the trance-like state, swaying in the breeze. From an outside perspective, she appeared exactly the same, but with her eyes closed. Salanth smirked. "I see you've been practicing." The words cut through April's mind, and she awoke. "I have! It nearly got me killed, actually. Or kidnapped, at least. But I have!" The ranger's eyebrow raised. "Someone attempted to take your life." "Sort of. Tikarians. They weren't happy at me and Dad being in the tavern."
"You know, we rangers don't take that sort of thing lightly. Attempted regicide is punishable by death according to the ranger's code."
"Dad didn't want them punished. He said it would harm the peace with Tikaria."
Salanth's eyes fell downwards, and he turned his masked face away from April.
"What else did he say?"
Not much. That he didn't have a hand in Queen Justinia's death, no matter how much King Beefold says he did.
The ranger toyed with a metal pin on the side of his jacket.
"Were you there when it happened? Or did you know anyone who was?" April asked.
"I wasn't there, unfortunately. A colleague was. A seemingly inept colleague. To let the murder of a Tikarian queen escape is a disgrace to our order. I fought for him to be excommunicated, but the cretin is on permanent administrative duties instead."
Salanth thought for a moment.
"Princess, how much exactly do you know of what the rangers do?"
"Dad has always said you keep the peace and dispense justice."
He turned back to face April and began pacing back and forth.
"Right. And why do you suppose we're necessary when every country has their own armies, their own laws, and their own judges?"
April appeared puzzled.
"I'd never thought about it. I suppose even the Watchers need watching?" she ventured a guess.
"Precisely," Salanth raised a finger. "In politics and war, those in power tend to believe they can do God knows what to each other and the consequences be damned. Well, that's why the Rangers were formed. We are the consequences. In peacetimes like this, we're usually lucky to be dealing with land disputes, out-of-control lords, and the occasional garden-variety criminal that a soldier or guardsman couldn't handle." He closed his hand into a fist. "But in times of war, people gain a lust for righteous vengeance. Know this, April. There is no leader in history who has not believed the gods to be on their side or for their cause to be just."
April ruminated on this for a moment. Willow simply enjoyed the gentle breeze against her coat.
"But how do you stop a king?" April asked. Salanth stopped pacing. Ideally, with honey. But if that does not work, then we must use the hammer. There is a reason we rangers are feared, princess.
April had heard the legends. Tales of rangers taking down entire platoons single-handed, of small squadrons engaging entire armies and winning. Not just winning, decimating.
Salanth sighed. I forget. We are not here to talk politics. You are here to learn.
He clapped his hands together.
Your hard work has paid off. It's time for you to attempt to produce air from your palms.
Really? You think I'm ready?
April was giddy with excitement. I said it's time to attempt it. That does not mean you will succeed, especially on your first try.
I've been working really hard, though. I've been studying Kelathor's guide all week.
Salanth's eyes narrowed. Kelathor, he uttered with disdain. That pretentious pillock.
You know him?
He gave a guest lecture while I was in training to become a ranger. He was rude at best, downright dangerous at worst. I pray you've picked up none of his bad form from that book.
Right, come with me.
They walked over to the center of the roof terrace and stood roughly 10 paces apart.
You are to enter your state of oneness with the wind, raise your hands, and ask the air to form in your palms. You will then direct them at me and ask the wind to accelerate towards me. Understood?
I think so.
April appeared concerned. She had never attempted full-fledged elemental magic before. As instructed, she closed her eyes and entered a meditative state. Her heart slowed and she felt the calming sensation of every current of air surrounding her. She raised her palms slowly, trying not to lose focus. As gently as she could, she asked the air to form in circles in her palms. A trickle of air built in both palms, circular in motion, and it grew into a delicate ball. April felt delirious with joy. She had formed air! She regained focus, and with her eyes remaining closed, instructed the air to accelerate at full force towards Salanth. Nothing. She asked again, but the air simply continued to move in circles in her palms. Finally, she tensed up and commanded the air to move. It evaporated from her hands, leaving April feeling hollow and weak. Seldom had her emotions gone from immense joy to a crushing low in such a short space of time. Her eyes welled.
Interesting.
The ranger strode towards the princess, flexing his hands and cracking his knuckles.
New tactic.
He leapt into the air and brought his fist crashing towards April. She barely understood what was happening before she dodged instinctively.
What are you doing?
Salanth began to throw strikes and kicks at April, all obvious and evidently not at his full speed. Nonetheless, April struggled to dodge them all and had to resort to blocking some with her arms and legs.
You will not defeat me with hand-to-hand skills alone, princess. You must summon the air, or you will lose.
He clapped his hands together, and from them burst a searing ring of flame which knocked April backwards. She was panicked and unable to muster a counter-offense. She could only dodge and block, and there was only so long that could last.
If you can't calm yourself here, girl, how are you to calm yourself in battle?
Salanth shouted. Realization struck April. She let her muscles run on instinct in defending against the ranger's attack, while she focused on meditation. The incoming strikes and blows made it difficult to concentrate, especially with the pain of every block she was forced to perform, but slowly she got there. Salanth arched his eyebrow in recognition and ignited his right fist into a ball of flame before aiming it at April's head. This was it. Time slowed, April's heart stopped, and she unconsciously asked the wind for all that it could provide her. Barely a thought had formed when her arm reached out to meet Salanth's fireball, and from her palm a gust of coarse, cold wind burst forward and propelled the ranger's fist backwards with such force it knocked him off balance. Instinctively, April's left fist sunk into Salanth's stomach with immaculate precision, and she froze where she stood. The man was slight of frame, but it felt like she had hit a Zendarian steel wall.
Ow!
April massaged her hand and danced about on the spot in pain, stamping her foot. The ranger looked down at where April had struck him.
Not bad. Not bad at all, princess.
He brushed himself off.
See, Kelathor's guide doesn't seem so silly now, does it?
Don't give a fusty old fool credit for your own hard work and ingenuity.
Recalling how long it took for him to produce air of any kind, Ranger Salanth wondered exactly what he had gotten himself into with this girl. the princess of Zendaria was a polymage.